Warren Haynes is on. Good morning. Welcome back to the program, brother.
Thank you. How you guys doing?
We're doing good. Warren Haynes coming to play Connecticut this Sunday.
Awesome.
At South Farms in Morris, Connecticut, and we're linked up for tickets. Hey, we're looking, so AJ is going to be in a plastic box outside for 24 hours listening to the most horrible song to raise money for our toy drive.
An endless loop.
Yeah, so we're looking for a really horrific song that's very annoying. Does one come to mind?
Really horrific song.
Yeah.
That's very annoying. Wow, that's a tough one. What do you got so far?
We got You Don't Have to Be a Baby to Cry. This.
That's horrible. It's like elevator hold music.
Yeah, they could play that over and over and over. That would be pretty annoying.
Right. See, Warren agrees. Yep. So you won't be playing that.
So, Warren, you won't be playing this Sunday?
You've ruined the surprise. Now, I was going to do it.
Damn it. The folks in Morris will be pissed.
I feel bad for you. No, I hope you raise a lot of money for sure.
I better. For my brain aneurysm I'm going
to
have.
Do you think you'd be able to do that, Warren, sit in a box and listen to the same song for 24 hours?
No. Yeah. No, that sounds... I guess if you had to, that sounds like hell to me.
Yep.
How long were you in the Allman Brothers Band? And I know you told us this story before, how you joined, how that all came about, but it's such a great story. Can you tell us again?
Well, I was in the band for 25 years. I joined in 89, and I had been, prior to that, I had been playing with Dickie Betts and his band, and I had been writing songs for Dickie's band and for Greg Allman's band. And so when they reformed, they asked me to come along. It was just going to be a reunion tour. It was going to be, it was the 20th anniversary, which tells you how long ago that was, because we did the 50th anniversary not too long ago. So we just thought we were going to go promote the 20th anniversary and that was going to be it, but things went quite well. So we did it again the next year and the next year and the next year. And the next thing you know, it was 25 years later.
Man. Wow. One just kind of blended.
That had to be wild, even though you're writing songs and associated with both of them, but to be on stage playing Allman Brothers songs.
Yep.
With the Allman Brothers.
Got to pinch me every time. Well,
yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I was such a huge fan growing up, you know, and it was a gradual process. You know, it wasn't like I was just instantly thrown into it, but I was pretty overwhelmed. I never thought the opportunity would arise that I would be able to join the Allman Brothers. And when it happened, I was just as surprised as the rest of the world, because they always said they were never going to reform, and I believed them. And thankfully, they were wrong.
Was there an Allman Brothers song that you guys played every show, and you got, you know, the band collectively got, you know, tired of it? We're tired of playing this, but we got to play it for the fans.
Right.
Well, you know, interesting you say that. We, for the first few years, we played a lot of the most famous songs every night, you know, songs like Ramblin' Man and One Way Out and Blue Sky and Whippin' Post and stuff like that. In the beginning, we would play a similar set night after night after night. But after two or three years, we decided, hey, we've got so many songs, let's do a different show every night and kind of shake it up and have it would be fun for us. It would be fun for the audience. And so there was nothing from that point forward that we played every night. And Dickie even decided that he wanted to give Ramblin' Man a break. And there were several years that we didn't play it at all.
Wow.
But thankfully, the band has so many songs that kind of the crowd is there to hear that it worked out okay. And it was fun for us to be able to not play the same songs every night. But, when you're improvising like the Allman Brothers, it's kind of nice to give some of the songs a break. But, you know, as a fan, we all know what it's like to go to a show and expect to hear your favorite song.
Well, the nice thing about the Allman Brothers is you could rest Ramblin' Man and a bunch of others and still have a ton of great songs to play for the fans that'll make them happy. Who would put together the playlist, and when would it be put together? On stage, backstage?
On the ride over?
Well, when I rejoined the band, you know, I left the band for a couple of years in 97. And when I rejoined the band, Greg asked me to take over doing the set list. But it would be with everybody's blessing. But, you know, he wanted me to take the responsibility of just putting together a different set every night that was hopefully different than the night before, but still would be a crowd pleaser and something that we would enjoy. And I enjoyed doing that. And we didn't always follow it either. Sometimes we would be in the middle of the show and decide, you know, let's do something else and just kind of have a little...
That's wild.
Fight along stage and change directions. Kind of
that's
like
fun.
Yeah, football team.
That makes it more fun.
Yep, shake it up.
Yeah. So, were you ever ready to launch into a song? And Greg said, "No, we're doing something. We're going to do something different."
What?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's happened not many times, but a few times. There was even once or twice through the years that. Half the band was ready to play one song and half the band was ready to play another one.
You know what? The audience probably didn't even notice.
Yep.
Right?
What are you trying to say?
I've been there.
That funny smell in the air.
Exactly. Are you going to be doing any Allman Brothers this Sunday in Morris?
Possibly. You know, I've done, you know, this will be the seventh show that I've done at the farm. And we, you know, we started out with one, then two, and then added another one, another one, another one. So finally, we're going to wind up with seven. I've done like Melissa. I've done Come and Go Blues. I've done Old Before My Time, which is one of the songs that Greg and I wrote together. You know, I did Soul Shine, which I wrote for the band.
Oh, man. I love that song.
So
yeah.
I usually try to do one or two if it's something that I can pull off in that setting, because it's just me and Danny Lewis, our keyboard player from Government Mule. It's just the two of us, you know, so it's kind of limited as to what we can actually do. But, yeah, I'll probably do something. I'm trying to think of something I haven't done yet, an Allman Brothers song that I haven't played yet that would be fun to do for the last show.
Oh, wow. What about the Dead? Do you play any songs from the Dead?
Yeah, a little. You know, I've done maybe three or four over the course of the six nights that we've done already. And, you know, an interesting thing, you were talking about the set list. There's only one song that I've repeated out of six shows, and I'm going to try to do that for all seven. I'm doing this song called Don't Know Where We're Going, But We'll Get There, that I wrote in the midst of all this pandemonium that we're going through now. But otherwise, every show has been completely different. And that's kind of similar to the Grateful Dead philosophy. You know, they were the first band to kind of notably do a different show every night. And I've been doing that for the fun of it and the audience as well.
Warren Haynes is on. Allman Brothers, The Dead, Government Mule, the list goes on and on. I want to ask you, if it's not too personal, where were you when you heard that Greg died? And did you know that was coming? Was it a surprise?
I had gone to see him. Derek Trucks and I went down to Savannah and saw him just a few weeks before, and we knew it was coming, but it happened a little sooner than we expected. And I was actually in Europe at the time, and it was really hard for me because I couldn't get back for the funeral, which broke my heart. But we had spent some time together right prior to that, and it was good to just kind of we were just kind of telling war stories and making each other laugh.
Oh, that's great.
But it was so sad. But again, I thought he was going to hang on a little longer, but it didn't happen.
Right.
Well, I'm very sorry for your loss, and it was a loss to all of us here, and we were very surprised. I mean, we knew he wasn't in good health. He was supposed to play Connecticut at a show for the station, and then that was canceled, but I didn't think it was that horrible.
Yeah.
And then, I never met him and didn't know him, but felt like I did through the music. And just like all the other fans, we were just shocked and horribly sad by
it. Yeah. Icon gone.
Yeah.
Yeah. We were at a festival about to go on stage when I got the word that he had passed. Oh. And that was here in the States. And then right after that, I had to get on a plane to Europe, which was just kind of insult to injury, I remember the day that morning when he passed, getting the call, and our friends Mo and Humphreys McGee, they do this festival together, and they had invited us to be part of it. And I think everybody would have understood if we didn't play, if we canceled, but I thought of the Allman Brothers' history through the years when Duane Allman died, when Barry Oakley died, and they always played music to get through the hard times, And I thought, well, that's what we have to do. But it was a painful experience, but I think music made it a little bit better,
I was going to say, that has to take a tremendous amount of strength to go up there and do that and be that raw and emotional in front of the audience. But also, it is a therapeutic moment with the audience. Did you announce that on stage, or did you not address it during that show?
I said something, but everybody kind of knew already. You could kind of feel the hush over the crowd. And I said something, I don't remember what, but I think I just said we're going to, dedicate the show, and everybody knew what I was talking about. But it was a tough day, it was a tough year, and this is a tough year.
Yeah,
but we move forward.
We're very excited about this show on Sunday, and we're glad you're coming in the midst of all this, because, like you said, we need it.
It's a beautiful day that day, too, by the way.
Beautiful day, by the way.
Beautiful day, yes.
We're normally in November in Connecticut, not so much. So.
Yeah.
I think we got so lucky with the weather. It's I hear it's going to be in the 60s. Is that what?
Actually, low 70s.
Low 70s.
Oh, are you kidding me?
Yep.
Oh.
Yeah.
There you go.
It's going to be North Carolina November weather.
Exactly.
Works for me.
Yeah.
That's where I grew up, so.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for coming on. Thanks for all the great memories, and we'll see you Sunday, 3 o'clock show at South Farms in Morris. We're linked up at WPLR.com and 95.9TheFox.com. Thank you, Warren Haynes. Appreciate it.
My pleasure, and thank you guys, and good luck with the box.
Thank you. Appreciate
thank
that.
You.
Thank you.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.